The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Today, of course, we are here to commemorate the life and ministry of St. Peter. For those of us who come from more of an American evangelical church background, it may seem odd to celebrate feast days for saints. But it has long been the practice of the church to remember and celebrate those individuals who were graced by God to have a significant impact on the church and who provide admirable examples for us to follow. This is the emphasis of the Anglican Church's feast days. Other traditional branches of the church, particularly those in the Roman and Eastern Orthodox tradition, will pray to the saints, asking them to intercede to the Father for us in much the same way that we would ask each other to pray for us as we're going through trouble. When we have difficulties, we want other people to join us in prayer. Now, the scripture doesn't explicitly prohibit this practice, though I would remind us today that the scripture also does not provide us any guarantee that the saints can hear our prayers to them. So where does that leave us, Anglicans, following the via media, the middle way? I don't condemn those who wish to incorporate such practice in their private devotions. But likewise, I cannot incorporate prayers to the saints in our ordinary corporate worship. When we commemorate saints, we therefore pray to God in thanksgiving for their lives and the example that they set for us, asking that he would grant us the courage to live boldly for him, just as they did. Learning about the saints of old, both those in biblical history and those of whom we have historical records, puts before us the possibility of holiness. These were real people just like you and me. They were flawed, some deeply, just like you and me. Yet these ordinary people showed extraordinary faith in their lives. They endeavored much for the kingdom of God. They endured much for the kingdom of God, and we are called to do the same. The celebration of Saints' Days, therefore, reminds us that we are neither the beginning of the story of the church or the end of it. Many have gone before us, and their stories are our heritage as well as our inspiration to aspire us to great faith and to prepare for the day of trouble. Should we Christians truly be persecuted in this country, will we collapse under the pressure? Will we throw a pinch of incense on the altar to Caesar? Will we abandon our brothers and sisters in the faith to save our own skins? Many throughout history have done this very thing. Or will we sacrifice ourselves in order that others may live and be inspired by our stories? When we remember Saints' Days, this is always the implicit question in the background. So many of our brothers and sisters in the past greatly suffered out of love for Jesus Christ. Hearing their stories prepares us to do the same. I don't wish to be martyred, but God grant me the faith that I should not shrink from such a fate, that I would not cower in fear, if my Lord Jesus Christ calls me to follow so closely in his footsteps. May we all make this our prayer. Of course, St. Peter was no stranger to adversity. He suffered somewhat alongside Christ. He flailed and failed during the earthly ministry of our Master. Yet from the day of Pentecost forward, we see this apostle acting boldly with conviction. He did not cower anymore from worldly authorities, but confronted them. Our reading from Acts this afternoon relates to us that Peter was thrown into prison, potentially awaiting execution at the hands of Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee. Yet God still had work for Peter to do. We read how an angel appeared to Peter as if in a dream, that this angel freed Peter from the chains that bound him and led him out of prison to freedom. God had work for Peter, and so God released him from those who opposed the kingdom of God. Let us note in this passage who has the agency here. Peter is charged by God to preach Christ. He is not responsible to stay out of prison or to keep clear of the officials or to please the Jews. He is responsible to preach the kingdom of Christ and to disciple those brought into the kingdom. What happens to St. Peter when he obeys Christ? He suffers. We should take note of this. Our obedience to Christ will lead us to suffering as well. It isn't our responsibility to avoid suffering. It isn't our responsibility to look for persecution either, which was also a problem in the early church. Some were looking to be martyred, for they believed that following Christ into his death in martyrdom was a privilege. Indeed it is, but a living saint can do more for the kingdom than a dead saint. We are not to go around poking the bear. We, like St. Peter, are simply to keep our eyes on Christ, being sensitive to his leading in order to share our faith. Should we be despised for our testimony, then so be it. Let us praise God. Remember that the real goal of our witness is to grow the kingdom. It isn't to win arguments. It isn't to prove how holy we are to the world. It is to love God through obedience and to let him draw all mankind to Christ. We cast our eyes toward heaven so that we would love God with all our hearts and souls and minds, just like we prayed and were encouraged to do. We cast our eyes toward our fellow human beings so that we would love them as Christ does. This is the task with which St. Peter was charged. This is the task with which we are all charged. One last thing, though, that we must point out from our reading from Acts this afternoon. Verse 5 reads, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Our first duty as Christians desiring to grow the kingdom of God is to pray. St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians commands us to pray without ceasing. And yet I suspect the average American believer spends very little time in prayer. Understand also that this verse doesn't say that as individual believers we're diligent in prayers. That's assumed. It says prayer was made without ceasing of the church, the collective unity, the body of Christ. If we want to grow the kingdom, then we must be a praying parish. This doesn't just mean on an individual level, but it means at the level of the parish. Now, we're blessed. We Anglicans have structures in place to accomplish this. So I again commend to you, particularly to those who are able to fit it in their schedules, to join us for the daily offices. Sometimes I may sound like a broken record here, and I will continue to sound like a broken record on this matter. Prayer, and I would even emphasize corporate prayer, is the foundation upon which the kingdom of God is built. Prayer opens our eyes to the needs of the world. It binds us closely to God and through God to each other. And it reveals to us areas in which we need to repent. If St. Peter, who Christ named the rock of the church, needed the prayers of the church in order to fulfill his calling, then we should humble ourselves to live into this fundamental truth. We as the church must be praying. Practically, what does this mean? It means that you would join us on Wednesday night for evening prayer. This is the starting point. And you know that we also have prayer daily offices Thursday morning, Friday morning, and the same days in the afternoon. This is an essential aspect to Anglican spirituality, that we would gather regularly to pray as the body. I expect to develop our Wednesday night service more fully when I am able to attend after my resignation from my aerospace job. But for now, I encourage us all, as we're able, to begin to prioritize in our lives and evening prayer and to develop this discipline. God expects the prayers of the church. It may not be what you want to do, but let us put Christ first. Let us get over ourselves. And let us rather get to the work of prayer so that the kingdom of God would be more greatly established by in our community. The prayers of the church made a difference in the ministry of St. Peter. Your prayers make a difference in the ministry of this parish. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.